Good evening, everyone. It's a great privilege to be back here. Baruch Hashem, I don't know what number summer this is that I've had the privilege to teach a little bit of Torah at the OU Israel Center, and it's always an incredible privilege. It's always a great privilege for my wife and my family and I to come to Eretz Yisrael, and it's a greater privilege to be able to teach a little bit of Torah here. Is it not working? Hello? My wife is right over here in the gray, yes. I won't make her stand up. Hello? How's that? Good. Okay. I talk loud. You don't have to worry. So I really just want to thank... I want to thank Hannah for organizing this shiur and all the emails back and forth deciding on the topic and the date. The OU Center is very lucky to have her, and I want to thank the Andrews family for dedicating this shiur. We are, Aviva and I and our family are incredibly privileged to have such friends like Akiva Noach and Karen, who enrich our lives in so many different ways. Their aliyah was an incredible loss for our kahila, an incredible loss for our community. But Baruch Hashem, it's beautiful every single time we come to see them more ingrained and more a part of Israeli society, and not just living here, but each of them in their own way actively making their own contributions to Israeli society. It's beautiful to come here, and it's beautiful to live here, and it's beautiful to just exist here, but to actually roll up your sleeves and to do something to further the development of the Medina, to further the development of Am Yisrael, is something incredibly amazing. So to the Andrews, thank you so much for everything you've done for us, and thank you for sponsoring this beautiful shiur. So what I'd like to focus on a little bit tonight is a little bit about Chodesh Elul, and a little bit about what Elul actually means. I often find, and I was looking kind of through some of my past shiurim, and often in Chodesh Elul, we use this as a month to prepare for Rosh Hashanah, to prepare for Yom Kippur, to prepare for Aseres Yimei Tshuva. So Elul is used as a month of preparation. But what I would like to explore tonight is not Elul as a month of preparation, but what Elul is in and of itself. Elul has an identity that is unique to the month of Elul, that to a certain degree is almost independent of the Yomim Noraim. There is an avoda, there is a spiritual service, there's a spiritual mandate, there's an obligation that exists over the month of Elul more than just preparing for what lies ahead. Elul has an identity in and of itself. It's almost as if, you know, at the end of Shacharis, so we see the Shir Shal Yom. So how do we start the Shir Shal Yom? Hayom Yom. No one says Shir Shalom in Israel. That's right. Right? Rishon, the Shabbos, right? Shabbat Yulavim, Om Beis Mish. So remember again, the weekdays, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, are Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni. What do you mean Rishon Sheni? Because everything is counted for Shabbos. Shabbos is the Iker. Shabbos is the primary pursuit. Shabbos is the aspirational goal of the Jew. And by the way, not just because you get more sleep or get to eat shalint, but because again, there's a recognition that weekday life often becomes very mundane. Weekday life often becomes shakua in the ordinary realities of existence. So I live for Shabbos. So my Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is all to lead me to Shabbos. But there's a danger in that. The danger is that you can end up cheapening Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi, Yom Chamishi, Yom Shishi. The weekdays lead up to Shabbos, but each and every one of the weekdays has their own unique mission and mandate as well. And if you ignore the individuality of the days leading up to Shabbos and just show up for Shabbos, then what? As Chazal said, Mi shetarach be'erev Shabbos, yochal b'Shabbos. Excuse me. Mi shetarach be'erev Shabbos, yochal b'Shabbos. Mi shetarach be'erev Shabbos, yochal b'Shabbos. Correct. So what does that mean? If you prepare on Erev Shabbos, you eat on Shabbos. Now, Chazal needed to tell me that. I wouldn't have known that on my own if I don't put up the potato gogol. I'm not going to have potato gogol on Shabbos. I don't need Chazal. Chazal are wonderful. They don't have to waste their time with culinary insights or ideas for me. Chazal teaching us an incredible idea. If you want any experience to be meaningful and impactful, you have to prepare for it. So you want Shabbos to be meaningful and impactful? You can't just show up. You can't just show up. It needs preparation throughout the week. You want Yamim Noran, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur to be meaningful, impactful. You can't just show up. You have to prepare for it beforehand. But although Elul is a month of preparation, what I'd like to explore tonight is the identity of Elul on its own. The individual identity of Chodesh Elul, almost to a certain degree, independent of the Yamim Noraim. So we'll start with number one. The Maharil, and you could see a little bit of his biography over here, Rav Yaakov ben Moshe Molin, born in Mainz, Germany, 1360, dies in 1427. So the Maharil actually quotes an interesting halacha. He says, Yesh omrim, she'im lehosif mechal al HaKodesh. The halacha is that one is not permitted to add on from the weekday to the Kodesh, which means what? You are not allowed to start the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah early. You can't start Rosh Hashanah early. That's the halacha, right? Strikingly, dramatically amazing. Why? Because normally we have a concept of Mosichin, we do add on. We add on from the Kodesh to Chol. We bring in Shabbos early. We bring in Yom Tov early. Okay, maybe there's an exception like with Shavuos, which is a separate idea, but even Yom Kippur we bring in early. We always bring in Yom Tovim and Shabbos early as well. Yet the Maharil writes, one is not permitted to begin Rosh Hashanah early. Interesting halacha. Why not? Mishum diyoma didinuhu. Because Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Adin. Rosh Hashanah is a day of divine justice. So what? Why can't I bring in the day of divine justice early? Because writes Likutei Torah, writes Lubavitcher Rebbe number 2, Yemei Elul Heim Yemei Rachamim. I want to tell you something amazing. You know, sometimes people think that the success of, like the litmus test of your personal piety and spirituality is how miserable you are in life. That if I am always beating myself up over everything I've done wrong, and I'm always so tzibrachin because of this, because of that, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to patch me, I committed this avera, I spoke Lashon Hara, and who knows, then that's a frum person. Then that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. It might be clinical depression, it might be a whole variety of different things, but one thing is clear, which is it's not what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. Rabbi Nachman was the one who wrote Mitzvah Gedol Lios B'Simcha Tamid. But it's not only the Breslovers who believe in Simcha. All Jews believe in Simcha. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be happy. The Ribbono Shel wants us to be well-adjusted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to walk around with a smile on our face. And He wants us to find the koach to put a smile on our face, by the way, even if there's nothing actually to smile about. He still wants us to be Simcha Dika people. So says Likutei Torah something amazing. Do you know what Elul is? Elul is an incredible month of divine closeness. See, the Rebbe says, Elul Eim Yemei Rachamim. The days of Elul are days of divine compassion. But the Rebbe then goes on and he says that there are no greater simcha-filled days than the days of Elul. Why? Because the Rebbe writes, Dirshu Hashem Behimatso, Kerubi Oso Karov. The Rebbe Shlomo makes himself accessible to us in a way during Elul that he does not do during the rest of the year. There is much in Hasidic literature about this that we're not going to get into, but you'll take my word for it, that Elul is a month of unparalleled divine closeness, but not a closeness of divine judgment, a closeness of divine love. Elul is a month of spiritual intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a month in which we could feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu like we can't feel Him even on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, because Elul is the month of Anila Dodi Vidodi Li. You know, comes, I'm to my beloved is to me. If you notice, when Rosh Hashanah comes, we don't call God our beloved. What do we call God? Melech. Right, Melech. As the Aseres Yemei Tshuva comes along, Avinu Malkeinu. The Dodi, the beloved one, leaves. He's replaced with the God of justice, with the God of judgment. Yes, who is also the God of forgiveness. But it's Anila Dodi Vidodi Li, I'm to my beloved is to me. That's Elul. That's Elul. A month of incredible divine love and divine closeness. Therefore, says the Rebbe so beautifully, we don't start Rosh Hashanah early. Why? Because why would you ever want to give up that divine closeness and substitute it with divine, bless you, with divine judgment or justice? Rosh Hashanah, bless you, Rosh Hashanah represents days of divine justice. They will come, ready or not, they will come. But why would you want to start them early? Especially if you're eating into a month that is marked, whose dad is identified as a month of incredible divine love. This is one approach to Elul, and I think a very popular and well-established approach to Elul. The month of Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li, a month, interestingly enough, not of tshuva. When you look in the Svarim don't bring down the concept of tshuva by Elul. Elul is a month of simcha, Elul is a month of closeness, Elul is a month of reconnection. Tshuva, which is a process, ultimately, again, of introspection, of searching out my sins, finding my shortcomings, where I'm broken, that's really the avoda, that is the spiritual mandate of Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, really through Shmini Atzeres. But the days of Elul, as the Rebbe writes, Yimei Rachamim, days of divine compassion, days of divine closeness, days of divine love. But I want to share with you another idea. Skip to number 4 for just a moment. The Ari HaKadosh, the Arizal, writes something dramatically amazing. The Arizal says something amazing. He quotes the pasuk from Yeshayo. The pasuk in number 5 says, "Kol amar Hashem, hanosin bayam baderech uvamayim ozim nesiva." I'm just quoting to number 5 first. So said the Lord, who made a way in the sea and the path in the mighty waters. Says the Arizal back in number 4, "Hanosin bayam derech." What does it mean that God made a path, made a way in the sea? Merames al chodesh Elul. This refers to Chodesh Elul. What is Elul? Elul is the path in the sea. What's the problem? What's the problem?
There is no path.
What is he talking about? You don't have to pretend like you understand this, right? What is he talking about? What does it mean? Elul is the path in the sea? Hanosin bayam derech. Ultimately, this refers to Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Baruch Hu places a path in the sea. This is Elul. What does the sea and Elul and the Pasek or the Yeshua have to do with each other? Now, the Ari HaKadosh, the Arizal Kidarko, writes in a very cryptic fashion, and his statement ultimately ends here. He doesn't really provide any further explanation. We're going to explore the deeper meaning of the statement of the Arizal together, but first, we're going to go on a little bit of a detour. I'm going to take you back a few weeks to Parashas Ekev. So the Torah says, number 6, one of the, so again, you'll keep in mind, so remember, so far, let's just review what we have. We have the basic understanding of Chodesh Elul, which is the month of Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li, a month of incredible divine closeness, a month of incredible spiritual intimacy, a month of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The proof to that, the Ma'aril says, you can't start Rosh Hashanah early. Because why would you replace divine love with divine judgment? Comes the Arizal, what is Chodesh Elul? Hanosein Bayam Derech. God places a path in the sea. The path in the sea, that's Elul. So let's explore this. Back to Parashas Ekev. In number 6, you will find what I think is one of the most enigmatic statements in the entire Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael as follows. V'yata Yisrael, ma Hashem Elokecha shoam imach. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Jewish people, what does God ask of you? Kim yira es Hashem Elokecha, to fear God or to revere. Yira doesn't really mean fear. Yira really means to revere. To revere HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Laleches b'chol d'rachav, to walk in all of His ways. Uli ahava also, and to love Him. V'la avodes Hashem Elokecha, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your God. B'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha, with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So a well-known pasuk from Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, even when reading it, it defies logic. Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be saying to Klal Yisrael as follows. Klal Yisrael, I have the deal of a century for you. The deal of a century. God is going to give you everything. And what does He ask in return? Klal is going to give you everything. He's going to let your body work okay. He's going to give you parnosa. He's going to give you health. He's going to give you everything. What's the only thing He asks in return? The only thing is to revere God, is to walk in all of His ways, is to love Him, and to serve Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. That's all. That's all. By the way, number 6, you understand what number 6 is? You understand what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying in that pasuk? That pasuk is the totality of Yiddishkeit. It's the totality of Judaism. So at first glance, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be saying, Klal Yisrael, I have wonderful news for you. God will give you everything, And all he asks is for you to be spiritually perfect in return. Revere him, love him, follow in your ways, love him with all of your heart, all of your soul. We're good, right? We have a deal, we have a deal. Can you imagine you're standing there, one of those Jews listening to this, listening to Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert, wondering, my gosh, this is impossible. I can never live up to this expectation. So obviously, you know, the beautiful part about Judaism is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never levels upon us unrealistic expectations. If you feel unrealistic expectations in your Judaism, it's either because you are going ahead and putting them upon yourself, or perhaps, again, the metrics by which you measure your personal success are a bit off. But everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us is realizable and attainable. As such, there must be a different understanding to what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. So the Gemara is bothered by this question. It's a famous Gemara. It's a famous question. So the Gemara says in number 7, Atu Yira Shemai Milsa Zutrasihi. So the Gemara asks, Moshe, you're making this sound like such a small ask. You're making it sound like you're asking Klal Yisrael for so little. Is what you're asking for so little? Is it such an easy thing to revere God? Is it such an easy thing to love God? Is it such an easy thing to love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, walk in all of His ways? So the Gemara advances a number of different answers to understand what Moshe Rabbeinu was actually asking of Klal Yisrael. But I want to share with you one of them. If you take a look at number 8. So the Gemara Maseches Brachos says so beautifully. V'yom Rabbi Chanina, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyiras shamayim. Famous Gemara. Everything is in the hands of heaven, except what? Fear of heaven. We'll discuss what that means in just a moment. Shene Emar, V'ata Yisrael ma'ashem alokecha shoyal mi'imach, kiyim li'ira. So the Gemara says, in reality, the Ribono Shel Olam controls everything. The only thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not control is Ma'iras Shamayim. What does that mean? Take a look at number 9. A beautiful Gemara Maseches Nida. Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa says, O Samalach Hamamuna Alei Rayon, Laila Shmo. So the Malach who's in charge of conception of pregnancy, the Malach is named Laila, some named Laila, Lila, Vinotel Tipa, Umaamid Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This Gemara, no matter how many times I learn it, always, it's so overwhelming. The Malach brings the Tipa, I guess maybe the little embryo, or maybe even before it becomes an embryo, and brings the embryo, the future child, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and says, Ribono Shel Olam, I have a simple question. Tipa zu matehe aleha. What is this child going to be? Who is this child going to become? The Malach is wondering. See, the Malach doesn't know the future. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tell me, I'm going to help the gestation along. But tell me, what is this young child? What is this tipa? What is this drop going to become? Gibor or chalash? Will the child be strong or weak? Chacham o tipesh? Wise or foolish? Ashir o ani? Rich or poor? But yet the Gemara says there's a glaring omission. What's the glaring omission? V'ilu rasha otzadik lo ka'amar. But ultimately, again, what does the Malach not ask about? Will the child be righteous or wicked? So strange. So strange. Every single other question the Malach asks, rich or poor, does that matter in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Weak or strong, smart or not so smart? Every question, by the way, these are the Rishonim bring down, these are just examples. The actual list is much longer and exhaustive. And the Malach asks every single question except the one that seems to Judaically matter most, which is Tzadik o Rasha. Will this child be righteous? Or will this child be wicked? Will this person be righteous or wicked? Why not? Kidra dichanina, dar dichanina, hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyiras shamayim. Because as Rabbi Chanina said, as we quoted before in number 8, everything is in the hands of heaven, except yiras shamayim, which means, the Malach says, the Ribono Shel Olam decides who is going to be rich and who is going to be poor. Now obviously, I have to put in my effort. I have to put in what we call my hishtadlus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to determine who is going to be wise and who is going to be not so wise. Right? We know this. Some people are blessed with a photographic memory. Some people have just a much sharper intellect, and some people do not. That's nothing you necessarily worked for. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. Some people are tall, some people are short. The short people, that's not a function that they didn't say Tehillim with enough Kavanah. Right? At the end of the day, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided. That was the message of the Ribono Shel Olam. There is one thing Rabbi Chanina says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not predetermine, which is your spirituality. Are you going to be a tzaddik? Or are you going to be a rasha? Are you going to be righteous? Are you going to be wicked? That is up to me. Even the Ribono Shel Olam, even the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, the King of Kings, does not intervene with my personal spiritual maturation. The person I am going to become, the life I am going to lead, the identity I am going to forge, the outlook on life I am going to adopt, that is up to me and me alone. You see, this is part of the beauty and at the same time the scariness of Yiddishkeit, which is the buck of who I am stops with me. I'm not responsible for my height. I am responsible for my weight. I'm not responsible for my height. I'm not even responsible, assuming that I put in the right amount of effort for the amount of money in my bank account. I'm not responsible, again, for how much information I could absorb in one particular sitting. I'm not responsible for those things because those are predetermined by God. But if I'm a tzaddik, or if I am a rasha, which is the most important thing in life, if I am a holy individual, or God forbid the opposite of that, if I am a spiritually accomplished individual, or ultimately, again, under-accomplished, that is an active decision that I make. And this is incredibly important, because, you know, sometimes people say, I'm not so good in learning because my Rebbe in fifth grade was terrible, or I had this bad experience in yeshiva, or this happened, or that happened, or I never went to yeshiva, I never had a background, so there's only so much I could do, there's only so... You know what? There might be a limit as to how many pages of Gemara you could learn. And there might be a limit as to how much information you could retain. And your observance may be stunted by not having all of the particular knowledge you need. But those are details. When the Gemara talks about a tzaddik or a rasha, that is an identity that transcends everything else. Who am I in this world? What kind of person do I want to be? You know, my friends, we're going to talk openly and honestly. Also, well, I go home soon, so I'm going to talk openly and honestly, right? I go back soon. But we hide behind a lot of things. You know, when somebody were to ask you, stop you on the street and ask you who you are, most of us would probably answer with what we do for a living. And especially if we're successful in what we do for a living, that's a great way to define ourselves. But imagine if you lost your career tomorrow. Well, then you'll say, I define myself by my relationships. I'm this person's husband or this person's father. You know, relationships, unfortunately, come and go. When you strip away everything from me in life, who am I at my core? Am I a tzaddik or am I a rasha? And I want to tell you something amazing. If you notice, by the way, what's missing from that choice? There's nothing in the middle. As I often say, the only time that parav exists is in your kitchen. In life, you're a tzaddik, you're a rasha. Beinoni comes up when God measures out how to judge you for the year. But in terms of how we self-identify, there are two categories in life. There are tzaddikim, and unfortunately, there are non-tzaddikim. Just the definition for non-tzaddikim, arishayim. But at the end of the day, this is the decision we have to make in life. Who am I? What am I? What identity do I possess in this world? Everything else is determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this most important decision is determined by me. And perhaps that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was ultimately saying. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't trying to tell Klal Yisrael, I have the deal of a century for you, it's so easy. Just revere God, love Him with all of your heart, all of your soul, and that's all, right? Walk in His ways. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying something dramatically different. You know, we spend so much of our lives trying to control the things we cannot control. We spend so much time trying to control other people, right? Maybe it's a spouse. I'm not looking at anyone in particular, right? Maybe it's a spouse, right? Maybe it's children. We try to control other people. We try to control circumstances in our lives that we cannot control. And Moshe Rabbeinu says something dramatically amazing. Stop trying to control the things you cannot and start focusing on controlling the things that you can. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I have a little bit of a secret for you. You know the only thing you could control in your life? The only thing you can control in your life is what? The nature and identity you possess, which is an incredibly dramatic, overwhelming, sobering, you know, cold water in the face moment. Because, you know, we like to try to control everything. Why? And by the way, it's a good thing. Because you know what that need? You know, people, some people are control freaks, right? And even those who are not control freaks, in general, we like to be controlling of things. Where does that come from? Where does that need to come from? That comes from the fact that we're at Tzelem Elokim, that we are created in the image of God. You see, we have certain divine pinings within ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything. So there's a part of me, because I'm a nitzutz, I'm a chelek elokami ma'al mamish, as the Baal HaTanya says, my soul is a spark from God himself. So God controls everything. There's a little piece of me that wants to control everything as well. But here's the difference between me and God, which is, let's just start with the simple one, right? Which is, he can control everything, and I can't. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, the Ati Yisrael, what does God ask of you? God doesn't ask you to run the world. God doesn't ask you to control the world. Why? For one simple reason. Because you can't. That's God's domain. So you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does ask you? Kiyim li yiras Hashem Elokecha, laleches b'chol derachav, li'ava osov, la'avodes Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha. You know what, see, Moshe Rabbeinu is not saying, this is not a statement of spiritual perfection. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, stop focusing and obsessing on the things you cannot control. There are people who are so miserable. There are people who live their lives with their kishkas in a knot. Dr. Batsofen, is that a clinical condition? Right? Kishkas in a knot, right? Literally, they walk around and they're a constant mess. Why? Because this is in a state of disrepair. This is in a state of disrepair. And it's true. Life is filled with dysfunction. Life is filled with craziness. Maybe it's craziness in our own families. And if you're lucky and it's not in your own nuclear family, it's certainly maybe in your workplace or in your neighborhood or in your shul or in your peer group. There's craziness everywhere. And there are people who become consumed by this need to fix everything. And when they can't, because you can't fix everything, they become miserable, angry, upset, jaded, cynical. Moshe Rabbeinu says, stop it. Stop it. Stop trying to control the things you cannot control and focus your energies where you could actually make a difference. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, make this very easy for you. There's only actually one arena of life where you can make a real dramatic impact, and that is in who and what you are. Your identity, your personality, your spiritual standing. If you're a tzaddik, if you're a rasha, that is something that each of us actively controls day in and day out. It's something amazing. Not only do I control it, but what? No one else controls it. No one else has control over me. No one else. Other people have influence. Other people have impact. But again, I make the decision to let other people influence me, and I make the decision to let other people impact me. I have complete shlita. I have complete autonomy. And not over the circumstances of my life, but of the quality of the spiritual personality that I forge. But the truth is, we have to take this one step further. Take a look at number 10. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, great tzaddik, takes this one step further. And he says, Moshe was actually saying something a bit more fine-tuned. The Rebbe says, Rach bevechinas va'ata. Now what Rabbi Nachman is pointing out over here is as follows. If you notice again, Moshe Rabbeinu, if you look back in number 6 for just a moment, there's an extra word. What's the extra word? I'll give you a hint. It's the first word in the pasuk. Excellent. Va'ata. Right? Va'ata. Moshe didn't need to say va'ata. He could have just said, Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha. Skip the first words, Ve'ata Yisrael. Why do you need Ve'ata? Ve'ata means what? And now, Rabbi Nachman says so beautifully, Ve'ata means Bechinas Hayom Im Bekolo Tishmu. So the Rebbe says, Shelo Yachshov Ela Osa Hasha'a Vaharega Shu Ve'ata. Listen to what Rabbi Nachman says. The Rebbe says, you want to know what the key to successful living is? Live in the moment. focus on the moment you have in front of you right now. Only think about that moment, the moment that you're in right now. Listen to what he says. This is amazing. Don't think till tomorrow. Don't think to the next hour. The Rebbe says something amazing. Because you do not know what, you know, we often say we do not know what tomorrow brings. The Rebbe says, I'll tell you even better. I don't know what 10 minutes from now brings. So Rabbi Nachman says something amazing. Not only is Moshe Rabbeinu telling us to focus our energies on the things that we control, namely the personalities we are, the spiritual identities we forge, but Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us even an additional message. That even in focusing and forging our personalities, what should we focus on? Focus on what am I doing now? V'ato Yisrael, Mahashem Elokecha Shoel Mi'imach. The Rebbe says, at the end of the day, it's true. We go ahead and we control the identities we have, the people we become. But the only thing I really control is what? Is the present moment. The only thing I actually control is the V'ato. The only thing I control is now. You see what the Rebbe is doing is, He's tightening it up a bit. Not only do I only have control over my own personality and who I become, and not what's going around me in the world, but even my own personality, I only have control over what is happening in front of me at this very moment. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not ask you for any guarantees. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not ask you for any future commitments. But rather, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of you? A simple ask. What is a simple ask? Maximize the present moment. Take the present that you have and make it as impactful and make it as holy and make it as meaningful as possible. What about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? I think there was a famous statement, might have been a Mamar Chazal, don't stop thinking about tomorrow. I don't know what Gemara it's in. So I would tell you, Rabbi Nachman says it a little bit differently. Rabbi Nachman says, stop thinking about tomorrow. Stop. For one simple reason. You can't forecast it. You can't plan it. Milo yada ma yavo yom. You have no idea what the coming day will bring. So if you don't know what the coming day will bring, you have a choice. You could be one of those people who worries about the future and gets wrapped up in planning for a future that you have no idea what it's going to look like. Or you can maximize your present. Now, I want to point out, Rabbi Nachman is not saying don't think about the future. And he's not saying don't plan ahead. That's not what he's saying. What he's trying to make us understand is that Yiddishkeit, Judaism, is this beautiful dialectic of course, you have to plan for the future. But plan for the future understanding that you really don't know what's going to be, and you really often can't control what is going to unfold. So plan for your future to the best of your ability, but don't put the bulk of your kolchos there. Don't put the bulk of your energies there. Put the bulk of your energies in maximizing your present moment. And now, I think we can begin to understand what the Arizal was saying, to link it back. Remember again, what did the Arizal say about 30 minutes ago? So the Arizal said, "Hanosin bayam derech merameis al chodesh elu." Ultimately, again, remember the quoted passage from Yeshaya, Kadosh Baruch Hu places a path in the sea, making a path in the sea, this is Elul. Elul is making a path in the sea. So what are the halachos that we have that apply to the sea? What are the halachos that we have that apply to the water? So on the most basic level, we just had it recently, last week's parasha, which is halachos of kashrus. So it's an interesting halacha when it comes to kashrus. Take a look at number 11. The pasuk in Devarim says something amazing. The pasuk says, "Ezeh tochlu mikol asher b'mayim, kol asher lo snapir v'kaskeses tochelu." So a very simple pasuk, right? Simple halacha. In order to be a kosher fish, what do you have to have? Fins and scales. The Gemara deals with a fascinating halachic question, which actually applies to certain species of fish. Take a look at number 12. The Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan, yesh lo achshav v'asid lahashirin b'shash olam en amayim." Listen to this interesting question. What happens if you have a fish that has scale? This really applies to scales. Scales while it's in the water, but when you take it out of the water, it loses its scales. I don't remember. I remember when we were in South Africa, they told us, I think it's the kingfish. swordfish. I'm sorry? King clip. Okay, I was right with the king. Good. So king clip, right? Which, so this halacha lemaisa, the Gemara says halacha lemaisa question, has the scales when it's in the water, but when you take it out, the scales are gone. So now it's on my table, I want to cut it up, I want to eat it, and it doesn't have the scales. So what do I do? What's the halacha? So the Gemara writes, kigon akunus, vafunus, kos the types of fish. Look at the last line, number 12, hare ze mutter. The halacha is, the fish is kosher. The fish is kosher. In other words, as long as it has its scales while it's in the water, that's enough. And the Be'er HaChaim, who's the son of the Lulavah Rebbe, writes so beautifully, number 13, Kikashus Hadag Nikva'as B'soch HaMayim. The halacha tells us that what? That the kashrus of the fish is determined when? When it's in the water. And perhaps this is what the Arizal is trying to teach us. Hanosein Bayam Derech. You know what Elul is? Elul is just like the sea. And in that sea, I'm just a fish in the sea. And you know what happens very often? Right now it's Chodesh Elul, and I'm in Eretz Yisrael, so I'm on my best behavior. And Baruch Hashem, I've got my fins, I've got my scales. But you know, at some point in time, the riverbed of Elul dries up. I'm going to be taken out of the sea. And very often what happens to my scales? They fall off. The stuff that I started doing in Elul, the behaviors that I took on, the things that I tried to change, they lasted a little while, but then they kind of simply slid away, along with my scales. The Arizal says so beautifully, it doesn't matter. You know what Chodesh Elul is? Chodesh Elul is the month where you live in the moment. Chodesh Elul is the month where I do not plan ahead. Chodesh Elul is the month where I stop thinking about tomorrow and start thinking about now. Chodesh Elul is not the time to think about my long-term life aspirations and projects. It's not the time to start planning about what I'm going to do when I'm 40, when I'm 50, when I'm 70, when I'm 90, when I'm 119. Chodesh Elul is a time where I focus on what am I doing now? What am I doing today? How am I maximizing the moment? Chodesh Elul is the month where we remind ourselves that the only thing I really control in this world is who and what I am. And in the realm of who and what I am, the only thing I really control is who and what I am in this, bless you, in this very moment, in this vi'ata. You see, my friends, sometimes we get so caught up in the future planning. You know, I'll tell you, there's an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says, David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbe Shlomo, when am I going to die? Famous Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you're going to die on Shabbos. David says, no, I don't want to die on Shabbos. I guess David HaMelech could have these kind of conversations with God. I'm not going to die on Shabbos, I'll die on Sunday. Counter offer, I'm going to die on Sunday. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you can't die on Sunday, because come Sunday, Kevar Higia Is Shlomo bin Chalimloch. Sunday's already time for your son. Shlomo's monarchy. Vein Malchus Nogia Bechavrta Filukimalei Neima. Two monarchies cannot overlap even by a hair's breadth. So David HaMelech says, fine, I'll die on Friday. And what does Kodesh Baruch Hu say? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no. Because one day of your life is better to me than the tens of thousands of karbanos of offerings that they will go ahead and offer up in the Beis HaMikdash that your son Shlomo will build. Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to tell David that too often in life we think about the future all the time. You know, Aaron Lichtenstein said, he was speaking to a group of chutznikim, to a group of Jews from America, and he said he called America the 401k society. He says, what does that mean? Everything is about how much money you're going to have when you retire. Now, and people live their entire lives based on how much money they're going to have to retire. There's only one problem that presupposes that what? Well, it presupposes a variety of things. Number one, that you're ever going to retire, right? Number two, that you're going to live to a certain age, which are two presuppositions that no one could ever make. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling David HaMelech, you don't understand. Your greatness is that you maximize the day. You take advantage of your moments. You take advantage of the here and now. We think that our job for Chodesh Elul and Yamim Noraim is to plan for the year ahead. So I'll tell you, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuva, Yom Kippur, that is about planning for the year ahead. Elul is no forward planning. Elul is maximizing your here and now. Is taking every moment, taking every va'ata, and being the best person you could possibly be in that moment. I want to tell you a little secret. You can't properly plan for the future unless you first become a va'ata Jew. You can't plan for your future unless you first know how to maximize your present. That is the avoda of Chodesh Elul. V'ato Yisrael ma Hashem Elokecha shoel mi'imach. God does not ask of us spiritual perfection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just asks of us to control and to forge the type of people we will become. And not even forge my personality for tomorrow, not forge my personality for next week, but forge my personality for the here and now. And there are so many incredible opportunities all around us. You know, I'm a visitor to Eretz Yisrael, so for now, at least. So, you know, I always, also just for the chinuch of my children, there's no shortage of people standing around Yerushalayim who ask for money. And a lot of times we walk by, and I'm sure it's different if you live here, but I would venture to say that for many of us, the shekel, or the half a shekel, makes absolutely no difference. And even if it turns out that a person has to spend a couple of shkalim a day, give smaller denominations. But give. Because that's a va'ata moment. There's a Jew with their hand out. How can you possibly walk by? Because they don't look like you. Because they don't smell like you. Because maybe they're upset when you only give them a half a shekel instead of 25 shekel. But that's a Chodesh Baruch Hu who's placing that person right there in my way. Yeah, and literally, in my way. I'm just trying to daven Shemona Esrei. I just want to daven for 3 minutes uninterrupted. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is placing them there. Or you see someone on the street and you see that they need help. Or a variety of many things that come our way each and every day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu places those va'ata moments in our way to allow us to self-actualize in the moment. You call your spouse in the middle of the day, not because you forgot something on your shopping list, but because, hi, just wanted to tell you that I love you. Just wanted to let you know I was thinking about you. You go ahead and you give your child a compliment, not when they do well in school or at a sporting event, not even when they've done anything remarkable, but you just go ahead and give them the compliment for the compliment's sake. You know someone who's struggling with something in life and you just pick up the phone and you say, hi, just wanted to wish you a great day. I was thinking about you because I know life is tough. These are small little things. And most of them don't even cost any money. But they make the most dramatic impact in our present identities. You could only plan for the future over Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuva, and Yom Kippur if you know how to maximize your present. And my dear friends, this is the greatest gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Doesn't it feel liberating? I feel liberated just talking about it. I don't have to control the future. I don't have to control it. I don't have to shape it. I don't have to control what you do. I don't have to control how you behave. I don't have to control what actions they go. I don't have to control it. I don't have to control my children. I have to discipline my children. I have to give my children proper role modeling, but I cannot control what they're going to become, who they're going to become. I cannot control so many things in life. And the more I say it, the more liberating it becomes. But don't go to the beach with this, right? You're liberated from everyone else. But that same energy and that same responsibility now devolves upon who? Now devolves upon yourself for the cultivation of yourself. We are not victims. We do not have excuses that we cannot self-actualize because of circumstances that have happened in our lives. Just because my mother didn't love me enough, my father didn't play ball enough with me, my second grade teacher wasn't nice enough to me, and all kidding aside, many of us have had many traumatic events in life. And those are difficult situations and they change us forever. But they do not give us a license to absent ourselves from the process of making ourselves the best people we can be. All of us have the obligation of va'ata. I don't have to control tomorrow. I just have to control now. And I'll end off just with a beautiful, what I think is a beautiful mashal. You know, the Be'er HaChaim, number 14, I'm just going to tell you it outside. He says, just very quickly, before this mashal, the Divna Magid, he says, if you look at the underlined lines in number 14, he quotes over here from the Sefer, Yisod Ve'emuna, from one of the Talmidim of the Chozo of Lublin, who says, this is the meaning of the Pasuk, Re'ei Nasati Lefanecha Hayom. The Ribbon Shalom says, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I've given you the greatest blessing. What's the greatest blessing? Hayom. I don't ask you to worry about tomorrow. I don't ask you to control tomorrow. I don't ask you to forecast or to shape the future. I just ask you to maximize your day. So when I open my eyes in the morning, there is one simple question, is how do I become great today? And by the way, that's greatness in everything you do. That's greatness in wherever stage in life you're in, and it's greatness in whatever activities you're engaged in. Becoming great doesn't mean that I'm now going to have to sit with a Sefer Tehillim from sunrise until sunset every single day. It means whatever you're doing in life, how do you find a way to self-actualize? Re'ei nasati lifneichem hayom. I've given you the greatest bracha, the power of the day. V'ata yisra ma'ashem elokecha shu'a mi'imach. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us is the Va'ata, is the here and now. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us is be the fish in the sea. I don't care that your scales will fall off when you are extracted from the waters. I don't care what will happen down the road. I just want you to swim successfully now, says the Arizal, Hanosin Bayam Derech. That is the Koach HaVelo. And I'll just end with a beautiful mashal. I actually said this over in my shul a few weeks ago. And I've said it over a couple of times since, but I've been so taken by it. The Divna Magid tells a mashal about the man who was a farmer. And one time he found an abandoned eagle's nest. And in it was an egg. The mother had left the nest and left behind the egg. The egg was still warm. So the farmer who was raising chickens on his farm takes the eagle egg, puts it inside the coop underneath one of the chickens. The egg hatches, and the eagle grows up amongst the chickens. And Mamish again becomes like one of the chevra, right? One of the chevra, sitting around, whatever chickens do all day. They peck around, they walk around, whatever they're, you know, and all the garbage and all the stuff. And he becomes like all the chickens. And like all the chickens, he spends his days, you know, keeping his head low, pecking low. And Mamish is finding scraps wherever he could find scraps. One day, the eagle decides to lift his head. And what does he see soaring above him? He sees a magnificent, regal eagle flying with wings outstretched, mammoth gliding so beautifully. And the bird says to himself, ah, if only I were born an eagle. And says the Dubna Magid, we're born eagles. We just sometimes spend our lives pecking around like chickens. And our job is to lift our heads, to realize how great we can become, to realize the true potential we possess, to realize the greatness that doesn't have to be acquired. The greatness is already there. The greatness already resides within ourselves. We just have to open our hearts to be able to find it. We just have to dig down within our souls to be able to find it. And Chodesh Elul is the month in which we begin to unlock that greatness. Chodesh Elul is the month where we begin to stop pecking and we start soaring. Chodesh Elul is the month where we stop being chickens and start becoming eagles. And only through maximizing our present, only through taking advantage of our moments, only through heeding the advice of Moshe Rabbeinu, V'ata Yisrael, Ma'ashem Elokecha Sho'el Mi'imach, to use this month, to use these days, to become Va'ata Jews. May we be privileged in Yerzah Hashem to find the strength to stop planning the future, start maximizing the present. And in that's merit, may we be privileged to become the kind of people who have the wisdom to indeed go ahead and plan our future over the Yamim Noraim. And may this entire journey bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring us closer to one another, but most importantly, bring us closer to ourselves. Thank you.